بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. All praise is to the one to whom all dignity, honor and glory due, the one with perfect attributes. He begets not, nor was he begotten. He has no equal, but he is the Almighty. I testify that there is nothing worthy of worship except Allah. To him belongs all the praise, and he has power over all things. I testify that Muhammad is his messenger, who was sent as a warner and as a lamp giving the light of guidance and as a caller to Allah. May the blessings of Allah be upon him, his family and his companion and those who follow them sincerely until the resurrection day. Ameen. Today, inshallah, we will continue with the same topic of who is a happy Muslim wife. And today, inshallah, we will have a practical guide to a happy marriage life. And in order to know how a Muslim wife can have a happy life with her husband, let us learn how the Quran and the Sunnah teach us how the relation between the husband and the wife has to be. In order to know, inshallah, this ideal relation between husband and wife, which would be the source of the happiness for both of them, we will read from Surah number 4, chapter number 4, Surah An-Nisa, ayah number 34. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. الرجال قوامون على النساء بما فضل الله بعضهم على بعض وبما أنفقوا من أموالهم فالصالحات قانتات حافظات للغيب بما حفظ الله. صدق الله العظيم. Allah is saying, the meaning, translation, men are the protectors and maintainers of women because Allah has made one of them to excel the other, and because they spend to support them, support their wives from their means. Therefore, the righteous women are devoutly obedient to Allah and to their husbands, and guard in the husband's absence what Allah ordered them to guard. And in order to understand the meaning of this ayah, we have to start from the family. We know that the family is the first institution in human life, in the sense that its influence is felt at every stage of human life. Also, it deprives its importance from the fact that it is within the family that the man is brought up. And we also have to know that the divine code of living takes human nature into consideration, as well as the natural abilities given to both men and women to enable them to discharge the duties assigned to each of them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created human beings as males and females, following the dual rule, which is the center of the system of creation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given the woman the great tasks of childbearing, breastfeeding, looking after her children, taking care of the family, taking care of the husband, a lot of difficult tasks, and these tasks cannot be fulfilled without careful preparation, physically, psychologically, and mentally. And among the qualities that the woman has been given are tenderness, that is to say, they can tolerate the pain and the difficult times of pregnancy and the severe pain of the delivery and the also the patience of the to be with the baby for the breastfeeding and to take care of raising the baby. So the women have tenderness. This is regarding their bodies, and also they have regarding their psychological and mental qualities. They are a kind of quick reaction and quick response human being, and this quick reaction and quick response human being will help them to respond to the needs of their children without the need for much reflection. That is to say, they are created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so that they can respond before they reflect, so that this will help them to be always in taking care of their babies and always to respond to the needs of their babies and the needs of their children. That is to say, they can support the family because they are reflecting, not they are always reacting, and they have a lot of emotion inside them. Quick response means that the emotions are the controller of these personalities. So women are the kind of the human being whom their emotions are controlling their reactions. They have quick response and quick reaction before they reflect, and this will help them to respond to the needs of their kids and to take care of the family. This is regarding the women. And actually, these are not superficial qualities. Indeed, they are implanted in the women's physical, mental, and psychological constitutions. And some of the leading scientists, they believe that they are present in each cell in the women's constitution because they are rooted in the first cell that multiplies to form the fetus and the children. This is regarding the women, and this is regarding their abilities which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created them with, so that it can make them to fit for the duties which are assigned to them in their families. On the other hand, among the qualities a man is given are toughness. This is regarding his physical abilities. Regarding his mental and psychological abilities, men are a kind of slow reaction, slow response human being, and this is the opposite of the women. The women were quick reaction, quick response, but the men are slow reaction, slow response. This is the nature which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the most wise, created the men with, as well also they are created with the proper thoughts and reflection before action. These are the mental and psychological abilities of the men. And actually, these abilities will fit their responsibilities, which are to protect the wife and the children and to earn the living. And actually, these two responsibilities, they require a lot of reflection and before taking actions. Man's qualities make him more able and better equipped to take charge of the family. Similarly, his duty to support his family as part of that general distribution of function makes him more suited to overall authority. This is because earning his family's living is part of being in charge. Moreover, looking after the finances of the family is closer to his family duties. And actually, in clarifying of these two elements, The Quran states that in Islamic society, men are required to look after women. It is an assignment of duties on the basis of natural abilities and the fair distribution of responsibilities. Each party is assigned the duties most suited to its nature. The man has the proper natural abilities to take charge of the family affairs, a rule essential for the proper progress of the human life. It is a simple fact that one party is probably equipped for this role and assigned the duty to play it while the other is not. Actually, there is plenty of evidence to demonstrate that the rules of human nature force themselves on men, even when people deny them together. One aspect of this is the decline in the quality of human life and the serious danger to which it is exposed when this rule, which gives man the task and authority to look after the family, has been violated. Such a violation leads to confusion within the family and is bound to have serious results. We have to know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Creator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who has the wise, He is the one whom He creates the man and the woman with the abilities which will help them to do their duties. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the man with the abilities to do the duties which will make him the one in charge of the family. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows that this is the best for the family, because the abilities of the man will help him to be the one to reflect and to be, before taking any decision, will be the one to think and to take his time before planning for any plan for the family. He is the one who is earning the level, earning the living of the family. He is the one responsible for protecting the family. So when everything is regulated in the family and the man knows his responsibility, it is a responsibility. To be in charge is not a favor, as some women think. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they think and they say Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make the men superior over the women in Islam. No, this is not the reality. The reality is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives the difficult responsibility and the more tough responsibility to the man in the family to be the one responsible. It is his duty to earn the living. It is his duty to protect the family. This is a difficult and this is a tough responsibility. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the most merciful, he makes the responsibility of the man so that he gives the woman the time and the effort to do her responsibility, which is fitting to her nature, which is to raise the kids and to give them the love and to give the family the feeling of the peace and stability. So when there is a confusion about these responsibilities, this will lead to serious results in the families. And to clarify this, let us check about the women. Did the women prefer for the man to assume responsibility and authority for the family or not? Actually, many women worry and they feel dissatisfied and unhappy when they live with men whom they don't like to take the responsibility. When the wife will notice that her husband doesn't want to spend to be the one responsible for earning the living, or the one whom he doesn't want to take any responsibility regarding the plans for the family or the decisions, she will be very upset and dissatisfied, because this is his responsibility. Also, this will lead to a lot of problem regarding the children. The children will suffer from instability because the father doesn't play his role, either because of his weak character, which allows the mother to overshadow or control him, or because of his, if the father and mother divorced, and the kids or the children will not find someone who is taking charge of his family. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the family, that the man will be the one in charge of the family, this is for the mercy of the woman. This is for the stability of the family. This is for the children to be raised in a controlled environment, which has a leader, and that leader has his own responsibilities, so the children will feel that our mother is the source of the love, and is the source of the compassion, and is the source of the psychological stability, and our father is the source of the one responsible for earning and for protection. So it will be clear for the children the responsibility of each one of them, and also it will be clear for them that their father is the one taking charge of the family affairs. This will help the children to grow up in a well-balanced environment, and will help the father and the mother to do their responsibilities in the best shape. So let us learn that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make the man to be the one in charge of the family affairs, let us know that this is a responsibility for the man, and also it is a mercy for the woman, so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving every one of them the chance to do responsibilities according to their nature. And we women have to be very thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that in Islam I have a husband who has the duty to spend the duty to be responsible for earning the living of the family, and will be is responsible to protect me. So as a Muslim wife, I don't worry about the earning, because my husband is the one responsible for this, and I don't care about protecting my children and myself, because my husband is the one responsible for this. So alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala assigned for me a duty which is fitting my nature, that is to say, to take care of my kids and to give them love and to give them care and to raise them. And this is a duty which is very close to the nature of the woman, and gives her a lot of happiness, because she is full of emotions. She wants to express her emotions, so through her duty that she lives with her kids and take care of them, this is give her a chance to live her nature and to do a duty which is easy for her and which is loved by her, and to forget about the responsibilities of the protection and earning the living, because Allah the Most Merciful, He made this difficult duties, He made it Allah the responsibilities of their husbands. So alhamdulillah, this ruling of the family, Muslim family, by the man is a very big advantage for the women and for the children, and they have to be thankful that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala assigned this responsibility of taking charge of the family affairs to the men. So now let us get more information about the wife, how they are supposed to manage their duties in their families, how to take care of their husbands, and how they can be a positive partner in the family and to make their family happy family. We will read now this the same ayah, and we will concentrate on the word which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said. It is in Arabic, فَالصَّالِحَاتُ قَانِتَاتٌ حَافِظَاتٌ لِلْغَيْبِ. That is to say, the righteous women are devoutly obedient to Allah and their husbands. This is number one. The righteous woman, number one, have to be devoutly obedient to Allah and to their husbands, and number two, to guard in the husband's absence what Allah ordered them to guard. So let us know the meaning of this devoutly obedient to their husbands. Devotion means willing obedience. That is to say, obedience motivated by love, and not the sort of obedience enforced against one's will. The Quran uses the term devout to stress its pleasant psychological meaning, which fit perfectly with the sort of compassionate relation which exists between man and woman. Man and woman are the two parts of a single soul from which all mankind descend, and because of that, Islam stresses that this relation is essential in the family home where young ones are raised. It is also part of natural and essential characteristics of the devoutly obedient wife is that she will manage all her affairs regarding her husband and her kids while she is motivated by love. What is the importance of love in regarding obedience? Actually, we need to learn that the human spirit will do any deed in the best shape if the spirit is motivated by love. And you can observe yourself regarding any action which you want to do, or any responsibility which you are supposed to do. For example, when you were a student and you have to study, for example, math or English or geography or history, you notice that whatever subject you love, it will be easy for you to study it and to get the highest mark. And whatever subjects you don't love, it will be very difficult for you to study it. You hate it and you don't want to study, and sometimes we fail this subject. Also, with this is the relation with your studying and your education. Regarding your relation with the human beings, when you love when you love your mother, truthful love, you will obey her while it is very easy for you to obey her. But when you have different points of view with your mother, and this makes you not to feel that you agree with her and you don't love her much, so you will not obey her very easily. And when you obey her, you obey her under the influence of the either respect or the need to the mother. And in both situations, it is not the feeling which will motivate you to be in the best shape with her. The meaning of that is, if you want to have the best relation with any person, you need to love him or her. If you need to do any good responsibility, you need to love this responsibility so that you do it in the best shape. So the Islam is encouraging every righteous woman to have the love as the nature of her relation with her husband and with her children and with all her responsibilities in her family. And because of that, if I am motivated by love in regarding obeying my husband, I will not be very sensitive to whatever he is asking me to do, because I will motivate the love between me and whatever he is asking me to do or whatever he is looking forward from me to do. I will not feel that I am forced to obey my husband. I have to obey him because I am in need of him. So what can I do? I will obey him. No, this is wrong. And actually, I think that this is the cause of most of the problems between the husband and the wife, is that they don't understand that the wives don't understand, and also, you know, love has to be also from both sides. But now we are talking about the wives. Wife has to understand that if they want to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if they want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bestow His mercy and affection and love in their hearts and in the hearts of their husband, if they want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to reward them paradise and to consider all their deeds regarding their husbands and their children and their families, to consider it acts of worship, they need to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is clarifying that the righteous women are devoutly obedient to Allah and to their husbands. That is to say, they are motivated by love. So according to this Quranic rule, I need to be motivated by love in obeying my Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and my husband. So I have to forget completely about the feeling that my husband is superior on me, my husband is treating me as if I am in need of him, my husband is giving me orders as if I am his servant. This is Islam, that husband has to give orders to the wife and she has to obey him. No, my dearest sister, this is not Islam. Islam give the husband the difficult and the tough responsibilities, and they put on their shoulders the responsibility of earning the living and the responsibility of protecting the family. And Islam, the merciful religion, gives you, the wife, the responsibility of taking care of the kids and giving them the love and the mercy and the affection, and also the kids will give you the same, and you will live a life of emotions and a life of peace and security with your kids, children in the house, where the husband is the one whom he is having the difficult tasks. So don't worry about how Islam is taking care of you, but just try to understand the reality that Islam is asking, in Islam you are just asked to be motivated by love in your relation with your family, especially your husband, so that your husband will feel the love in all your actions towards him, and in response he will also give you the same amount of love. Even he may give you more and more, because he is looking forward to have this kind of love and to feel that you are motivated by love, not motivated by materialistic issues. You are taking care of him, you are obeying him, you are trying to give him all the happiness only for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you are motivated by love. And my dearest sister, when you are motivated by love, you are the first one to feel this love. Because when you are motivated by love, your heart will be living in a state of relaxation and in a state of hope and peace and security. This is obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His orders. We don't understand the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just wants the women to obey the husbands because it is the main rule in Islam. No, my dear sister, when you discuss more and more and reflect more and more about the duties of the husbands and the duties of the wives, you will recognize 100% how Islam is very merciful with the wife. How is in Islam it is the duties of the wife which are fitting their nature and which it looks more easy than the duties of the husbands. To give love to your husband doesn't mean that you are the one giving. Actually, you are the one getting, because giving love will be reflected first on the one who is giving the love. This is the reality of giving the love. Also, when you give the love, you for the sake of Allah, you will be in a state that you are not looking forward to have anything. But in spite of that, you are not looking, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward you that your husband will give you a lot of love, because this is the nature. Whatever you give, you will take from the same kind of what you give. So, my dearest sister, to be motivated by love in the relation with your husband, this is number one for your sake, and number two for the sake of the relation between you and your husband, who will respond with the same love inshallah, and also you will be rewarded because you are obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His command to you to do your deeds for your husband and Allah, for Allah and your husband. Motivated by love, Allah will reward you good deeds, and inshallah you will have your destination in the paradise. So we have to stress that every Muslim wife needs to be motivated by love for the sake of Allah, for the sake of obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for the sake of being to be happy internally, for the sake of to have a happy relation with her husband, and for the sake of the paradise. So let us obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all of us, and promise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that inshallah we will be devoutly obedient to Allah and to our husband. And the second character of the righteous woman is that she will be guarding what she guarding in the absence of her husband, what she is supposed to guard in his presence, that is to say his chastity and his property. Actually, as we discuss, that the righteous woman, she feels Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He is between her and her husband. That is to say, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching her day and night. That is to say, she is obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala regarding her husband. So the absence of her husband, or the existence and the presence of her husband, doesn't mean anything for her regarding being guarding his chastity and his property, because she is observing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala day and night, and she wants Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be pleased with her. So she is doing her responsibility regarding guarding what she's supposed to guard, whether her husband is absent or he is present. And you have sad tidings regarding the righteous women whom they are devoutly obedient to their husbands. We will learn two hadiths of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam giving us this glad tidings. The first hadith is that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when any woman prays her five fasts, her months, guards her body and obeys her husband, it is said to her, enter paradise from whichever of its doors you wish. So now you believe, sisters, that when you guard what you are supposed to guard in your husband's absence, and when you devoutly obey your husband, inshallah, with your fasting and prayer, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make you that it will be said to you on the day of judgment, enter paradise from whichever of its doors you wish. You will be the one to choose the door of the paradise which you like to enter the paradise from it. And you see, sisters, what a better reward can be for someone to choose to follow the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What a better reward can Allah give you if you obey Him regarding your husband. So let us all the time, sisters, if we are true believers, believing that paradise is the biggest goal for the believer, let us know that we have, alhamdulillah, an easy way to paradise. This easy way is to be devoutly obedient to our husbands and to guard our body. And alhamdulillah, every Muslim wife, when she will know about this hadith, inshallah, she will be guided to try to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala regarding her husband, to be, that is to say, to be motivated by love in all his relation with him, and to guard her body so that inshallah, with her prayer and fasting, she will enter the paradise from whichever of its doors she wish. Also, there is another hadith related to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that Prophet Muhammad asked his aunt if she was married. When she answered in the affirmative, he said, how are you with respect to him? She answered, I don't fail in obeying him save in those things that I am incapable of doing. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, told her, look at how you are with respect to him, for he is your paradise and your hellfire. Sisters, this is a very important hadith, and let us always remember it, that your husband is your paradise or your hellfire. That is to say, your husband, your relation with your husband will lead you to either the paradise or the hellfire. And what is the meaning of this? The meaning of this is that in another hadith, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the prayer will be the first deed to be evaluated in the day of judgment, and after the prayer for the woman, it will be her relation with her husband. If she is obeying to her husband, this will, with her prayer, will lead her to paradise, and if she is not obeying to her husband, it is that she has the possibility to be in the hellfire. That is to say, Islam evaluates the relation of the wife with the husband and the obedience of the wife to the husband very highly, and it is the second after the prayer to be evaluated on the day of judgment. So again and again, sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is clarifying to us that there is an easy way to paradise, and also it is an easy way to be away from the hellfire, which is to be devoutly obedient to your husband. Is that, sister, easily motivate the love inside yourself. Say to yourself, I have to
obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because I love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And because I love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and I worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and I obey and I believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I obey the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded me to be devoutly obedient to my husband. Okay, alhamdulillah, I will do it for your sake, O Allah. I will do it for the sake of my happiness, O Allah. I will do it for the sake of the happiness of my husband. I will do it for the sake of the happiness of my children. So, inshallah, sister, then I will do it for the sake of having the paradise, inshallah, my destination. So for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sister, and then for the sake of yourself, always remember that being devoutly obedient to your husband is your way, inshallah, to the internal happiness in this life and your way also to paradise. And let us now stop at this point and do dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and inshallah we continue the topic about more detailed and practical plan for how to be devoutly obedient to the husband, that is to say motivated by love, how to enjoy the life with your husband according to the rule of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshallah, in the next class. And let us do the dua today. O Allah, our Lord, inspire us with good conduct and save us from our evil. O Allah, our Lord, cause your love to exceed all loves in us and cause your fear to be the greatest of all fears in us. O Allah, controller of the hearts, keep our hearts firm in your religion and keep it contented with your worship. O Allah, our Lord, guide us with those whom you have guided. O Allah, our Lord, strengthen us with those whom you have given strength. O Allah, our Lord, and take us to your care with those whom you have taken to your care. O Allah, our Lord, we seek your forgiveness. O Allah, our Lord, we seek your forgiveness. O Allah, our Lord, we seek your forgiveness. O Allah, our Lord, we ask you for success on the Day of Judgment and a life of happiness. O Allah, our Lord, we seek refuge in you from a decline in your favor. O Allah, our Lord, we seek refuge in you from a change in your protection. O Allah, our Lord, we seek refuge in you from your sudden punishment and all your displeasure. O Allah, our Lord, we ask you to make the best of our deeds our last deeds. O Allah, our Lord, we ask you to make the best of our life our last moments. O Allah, our Lord, we ask you to make the best day of our life the day we meet you. O Allah, our Lord, we ask your protection from the torment of the hell. O Allah, our Lord, we ask your protection from the torment of the grave. O Allah, our Lord, we ask your protection from trials in this life and the after death. O Allah, our Lord, we ask you to make our husbands and our offsprings comfort to our eyes. O Allah, our Lord, we ask you to increase your blessings and your favor upon our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his family and his companions, and those who follow them sincerely until the resurrection day. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. Salamun ala al-mursaleen. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.